finest men in all the Bible was Judas Iscariot. One of the cleanest men in all the Bible was Judas Iscariot. When we think of Judas, we think negatively, but we need not do so. Judas was reared in a town called Kerioth. We'd spell it K-E-R-I-O-T-H, Kerioth. That's where Judas Iscariot comes from. Judas, man of Kerioth, or Judas Iscariot, or Iscariot. When Judas was a young man, a preacher came to town, strange preacher, clothed in camel's hair, sackcloth, and eating locust and wild honey. This preacher was a strange sort of a preacher. They never had anyone in Kerioth exactly like him before. He said such things as, "There cometh one after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose." He said such things as, "He must increase, and I must decrease." This strange, peculiar preacher. He wasn't dressed like the priest of the Old Testament, nor was his message like their messages. He said such things as, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And when some people came down and said they were repenting and did not seem to be sincere, he'd send them back their seats and say, "Go back where you sat. Bring forth some fruit, meat for repentance." Strange thing. But something else strange. Along with this hard, harsh, straightforward preacher whose name was John the Baptist, the crowds began to come by the thousands. Perhaps no crowds ever assembled as large as these. The talk of Kerioth, no doubt, was this preacher that's come to town, not dressed like an ordinary preacher, doesn't preach like all the rest of the fellows who've been through town. Strange kind of a fella. But the crowds came to hear him. Sitting in the service one night, or one day, was a young man, fine young man, clean young man, decent kind of a fellow, moral, kind of fellow that would be the ideal of the younger boys. Turn me down about that much, fellas, about that much, just a little bit. And this young man was in the service that night. Kind of young fellow that about whom parents would say to little boys, "That's the kind of boy I want you to be when you grow up." His name was Judas. Judas of Kerioth, or Judas Iscariot. Judas saw what was going on. He saw the great crowds coming to hear this strange preacher, John the Baptist. He saw the people flocking down the aisles, professing faith in the coming Messiah. As John the Baptist would say, "There cometh one after me. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost." Strange moving of the Spirit of God took place. Drunkards were made sober. Harlots were made pure. Wicked lives were made clean. Immoral people were made moral. What a time. Well, Judas, this young man, he certainly was one of the finest young men in town. Shouldn't he join in these religious activities? Why wouldn't he be embarrassed if others came forward and got baptized and he didn't get baptized? And so one night, Judas Iscariot, or one service, Judas Iscariot came forward. He did not really mean what he said. I'm sure John the Baptist said something like this: "Are you coming to put your faith in the coming Messiah? Are you repenting of your sins and putting your trust and faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to come?" Judas knew he didn't mean it. But rather than be a misfit, Judas Iscariot, though his heart was not in it, said, "Yes, I'm coming to receive Jesus." But Judas wasn't born again. He did not mean it down in his heart. He had come forward, and by the way, just because you walk forward in invitation doesn't mean you've been born again. He had come forward in invitation time, but he hadn't been born again. Judas Iscariot made the mistake that so many folks make, and that is of wanting to get religion, but not getting Jesus Christ. He was not born again. He knew it. Everybody else thought he was. His mother thought he was. His father thought he was. His pastor thought he was. John the Baptist thought he was. His friends thought he was. But Judas was not really born again. And there follows a series of scenes in the life of Judas, the lack of which give him tremendous opportunities to have admitted he was not born again, to have been saved. For example, in scene one, we see a baptismal service. I see John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan River. And Judas Iscariot is being baptized. Ah, wouldn't that be a scene? I recall that little boy in East Texas when I was pastoring down there. Teacher said, "Boys and girls, who baptized Jesus?" And the kids all said, "John the Baptist did." The teacher asked the question, "Who baptized John the Baptist?" And that stumped them. And finally, one little fellow said, "I know who! I know who! Brother Hiles did! That's who!" No, I baptized a lot of folks, but not John the Baptist. Can you picture how Judas must have felt that day when John the Baptist raised his hand in the air and said something like this? "In obedience to the command of our Lord and Master, upon a public profession of your faith in him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Judas kept saying under his breath, "I'm not really born again. I walk the aisle, but I'm not born again. I'm being baptized, but I'm not born again. What a time it would be for me now. What a good chance it would be for me to say, 'Hold it, John. Hold it, preacher. I want to tell you something. I wasn't born again when I walked down the aisle. I walked the aisle. They knelt with me. They took my name. I had a seat on the front. But I wasn't born again.' Let me ask you a question. Were you? Judas Iscariot, when John put his hand perhaps on the back of his neck, began to lower him down in the Jordan River, there's something on the inside of Judas Iscariot that said, "Stop it now. Stop it now while you can. Tell John you've really not been born again. Stop it and say, 'Folks, hey folks, I've got an announcement to make. I walk the aisle, but I've not been born again. Before I get baptized, I must get born again.'" But Judas Iscariot was too embarrassed. He did not want to face the fact that he'd not been born again. Religious, but lost. Profession of faith, but lost. And now he comes up out of the water, dripping wet in the hands of the greatest preacher, never one born of woman like the man who baptized him. Lost. Down the water, unconverted. Up out of the water, unconverted. Religious, but lost. Profession, but lost. Baptized, but lost. There are tens of thousands and there are millions of people in this nation who sat in church this morning and who would have gotten up and walked down the aisle and said, "Preacher, I've not been born again." But you have the same kind of pride that Judas Iscariot had 2,000 years ago. Scene one, baptized. He knew he should have said, "John, hold it. I want to get saved." But he didn't. Now tonight, if you do not know that you've been born again, if you do not know that your name is in heaven, you didn't get born again because you walked the aisle. You didn't get born again because you knelt here at the altar. You didn't get born again because you got baptized in this baptistry. You didn't get born again unless the Lord Jesus Christ transformed you by your faith in him and made you a new creature and washed your sins in his precious blood. Hear his voice echoing down through the ages, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. If a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Scene two. Judas Iscariot has followed Jesus for a while. Jesus and the apostles are very impressed with his seeming dedication to the apostleship or followership. So our Lord decides to choose 12 men to be on his inner circle, to be the apostles, 12 men to whom he can give the baton to run the relay race in his absence. He gathers his people out on the mountainside. Folks are sitting anxiously wondering who will these 12 be. Maybe our Lord gets a scroll, unrolls it, begins to read some names. Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew. Nobody is surprised, however, when our Lord comes down to the name Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, chosen to be one of the 12, but not born again. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles, but not born again. And I'm sure there's something inside of Judas that made him want to jump up and say, "Hold it, Jesus, hold it! I wasn't born again. I walked the aisle into John, but I wasn't born again. I professed a faith I did not have. I was not born again. I was baptized at the hands of John, but I was not born again. Jesus, I want to get born again now." Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if Judas Iscariot had done that? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if Judas Iscariot said, "Hold it, I want to get born again"? But he didn't. Embarrassed like you are, unwilling to admit his lost condition like you are, Judas Iscariot had his name added to the immortal names of the apostles, but not born again. Can you imagine how he felt at that ordination service when the laying on of hands transpired? Can you see Judas Iscariot on his knees at the altar, maybe? Maybe beside a river. Maybe beside the Sea of Galilee. Maybe under using the trunk of a tree for an altar. Can you imagine how Judas must have felt in scene 3 when his Lord reached out and placed his hand upon his head? Judas felt the sweet and lovely hands that soon were to be pierced with the nails of an angry mob. Judas felt those hands on his head, and Judas Iscariot must have thought, "Oh my God, oh my God, here I am, professed a Christian. Here I am, baptized. Here I am, an apostle. And here I am feeling the hands of my Lord upon my head, and I'm not born again." Well, I'm sure something inside of Judas said, "Get up, Judas. Tell the crowd you're not born again." But pride sealed another nail in his casket. And pride sent another step toward his journey to a devil's hell, professing to be Christ's child, but not Christ's child. Oh, wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if Judas would have gotten up off his knees and said, "I'm not going to live a lie anymore. I'm not going to live a lie. I'm not born again." But Judas wouldn't do it. Went on his way toward hell, a ticket to heaven, but on his way toward hell. He was chosen an apostle. Scene 3. One day, they call the apostles together. Jesus says, "We're going to elect a treasure for the apostles. We're going to choose one of our men to carry the bag. We're going to choose one of our men to sign the checks. We're going to choose one of our men to count the money. We're going to choose one of our men to disperse the money." Now, I'm sure our Lord would have said something about like this, "I know you're all honest men, but let's choose the man who is the most honest. Let's choose the man who is the best at handling money. Let's choose one in whom there is no doubt about his integrity, his honesty, his veracity." Why, without a hesitation, somebody said, "I nominate Judas Iscariot. He is a faithful man. He is an honest man. He's a fellow, we've seen him grow up. We know what kind of fellow he is." Our Lord Jesus Christ appointed Judas Iscariot as the treasurer of the apostles. Can you feature how he must have felt when our Lord took that bag over to him with the money in it? And our Lord said, "Judas, here's the money." Judas reached out with trembling hands and a doubting heart to receive the money as an honored apostle. I'm sure there's something inside of Judas that said, "Tell him now. Tell him now. This is the time he ought to know. Tell him now. I should have gotten up out of the wall when I walked down the aisle and said, 'Folks, I'm not born again.' But I didn't. I should have stopped the baptismal service and said, 'John, don't baptize me yet. I want to get born again first.' But he didn't. I should have said when I got out of the water dripping wet, water dripping off my face and my hands and my clothes, I should have said, folks, hold it. I got baptized, but I wasn't born again. I should have said it when my Lord placed his hands on my head in ordination. I should have stopped and said, hold it, Jesus. Don't place those holy hands on me. I'm not born again. Judas said it, said, I'm sure something inside of him said, Judas, now's a good time. Now's a good time. Judas, you're not born again. You're about to take the book. You're about to take the money. You're about to become the treasurer. Tell him now! Tell him now! And I'm sure Judas began to, if he said, I can't. I've gone too far. I've gone too far. I'm an apostle. I'm the treasurer. I've been baptized by John. I'm one of the chosen 12 with Jesus. I'd be the fool and laughingstock of the entire countryside if I told him I wasn't saved. Oh, you listen to me and you listen to me well. I do not care if your name is on the pastoral staff. If you've not been born again, get born again. I don't care if you sing in the choir and you're not born again, get born again. Don't you let anything in this world keep you from knowing that your name is written in heaven. And there Judas takes the book, takes the money, still unconverted church member. How sad, how sad, how sad. Scene 4. We're in a family living room. Wonderful, wonderful family setting. Our Lord is sitting over here. Mary and Martha of Bethany are sitting here. Lazarus is sitting over here. The apostles are there, and in the room there is Judas Iscariot. Our Lord is going to be crucified before long. And there he comes to their home where he left to relax, where he left to find refuge from a busy and angry and motley world. They're talking about his coming death. In just a few hours, the kiss of betrayal shall be placed upon his brow. In just a few hours, angry soldiers shall come and take him away to the high priest. In just a few hours, he'll stand before Pilate. In just a few hours, he'll go before Herod. In just a few hours, he'll come back to Pilate. In just a few hours, they'll strip him of his down to his waist and they'll beat him with a cat of nine tails. In just a few hours, they'll put him on a cross. In just a few hours, they'll lift that cross between heaven and hell. In just a few hours, he'll dip his own soul into hell. In just a few hours, he'll say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In a burst of adoration, with a burst of adoration and devotion, suddenly Mary of Bethany stands up and she has a box, an alabaster box of ointment. She takes it over to Jesus, and suddenly she breaks it and anoints Jesus with it. And Judas Iscariot, money-minded all the time, suddenly spoke and said, hold it! You could have sold that and given the money to the poor. Don't waste that money on Jesus. Oh, he said it before he knew. Oh, in a moment of passion, in a moment of unguarded, unguarded moment, he suddenly burst out and showed his real colors. What a good time that would have been to have said, Jesus, I'm the one that's supposed to place the kiss of betrayal upon your brow. And I'm the one that's going to sell you for $19.50. Jesus, I want to tell you, I've not been born again. I knew it out yonder when John preached and I walked the aisle. I knew I hadn't been born again, but I was sure I was ashamed to tell it and admit it. I knew when John held his hand up to baptize me, I hadn't been born again, but I was ashamed to admit it. I knew when you chose me to be one of the 12, I hadn't been born again, but I was ashamed to admit it. I knew when you laid your hands on me, I should have gotten up and said, I'm not born again, but I was ashamed to admit it, Jesus. I knew when you gave me the bag and made me the treasure, I knew I wasn't born again. Something inside of Judas said, go ahead and do it now, Judas. Go ahead and do it now. Something on the inside also said, "You fool, you'll be the life and stock of this whole town of Bethany and Jerusalem. They'll be talking about you all over the nation." Something else said, "Judas, don't go to hell because of that." The other voice said, "Judas, you fool, are you going to make you're going to end up being the laughing stock of the whole area?" And the other voice said, "But Judas, you ought to get converted. You're going to go to hell." But the other voice said, "No, you're not. You're a good fella. You're a good guy. You've been baptized. You're religious. You joined the church. You're an apostle. You don't think God would send you to hell, do you?" But another voice on the inside said, "Yes, he will. He'll send you to hell if you don't get born again." And there the battle was raging, just like it's raging right now in scores of people in this room tonight. You know you've not been born again. You know it. You know it. You know it. You sat through services like this again and again and again, and you've listened to a preacher preach, and you're shaking your head like this and tried to get it off your mind. And even right this minute, there are dozens of people in this room who are trying to get it off your mind. You do not know the time when you were born again. You do not know the time when you pass from death into life. But you've gone too far, you think. You're a deacon. You're a Sunday school teacher. You sing in the choir. You're respected. Your neighbors know you're religious. You have a department, maybe. You're on the staff, maybe. I don't care what you are. If you're the Pope and not born again, what should it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Judas Iscariot all of a sudden finds that battle, that ping-pong ball going from side to side. Do it now, Judas. Don't do it, Judas. Do it now, Judas. Don't do it, Judas. Do it now, Judas. You may be too late tomorrow. Don't do it, Judas. Don't do it, Judas. Just exactly like it's going on in your own heart and mind tonight. Judas opens his mouth. Maybe he says, "Jesus, I'd like to say something." "What is it, Judas?" "Never mind. Never mind." He walks out in the darkness of that night, leaving that little gathering in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, not knowing that he's saved. Oh, listen to me tonight. There's no darkness so dark as that of an unconverted church member. There's no night so black as the night of an unconverted church member. There's no doubt so doubtful as the doubt of an unconverted church member. There's no misery so miserable as that of an unconverted church member. There's no hopelessness so hopeless as that of an unconverted church member. There's no weariness so wearisome as that of an unconverted church member. Oh, tonight, if you walk out in the dark, you don't have to do it. You know why? I'll tell you why. There's not a person in this house who wouldn't rejoice to know that you've been born again. Amen. We want you to go to heaven with us. We don't want you to go to hell. If you walked the aisle and didn't get converted, admit it. If you got baptized but weren't born again, admit it. If you took a Sunday school class and weren't born again, admit it. If you were ordained to be a deacon but weren't born again, admit it. If you were ordained to be a preacher and weren't born again, admit it. Don't chance your soul. Most precious thing you possess is your soul. Evel Knievel was right. He was right. I don't think the fellow's converted unless he got saved right before the jump. But he quoted Scripture when he got to, when he they asked him if he was going to jump again. He said, "What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own life?" And by the way, that his translation is nearer than the word soul. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Listen. When you stand before God, it won't make any difference whether you're on the deacon board or not. It won't make any difference whether you were in the choir or not. It'll make no difference whether you sang in the choir or sang specials or not. It'll make no difference if you were on the staff or not. It'll make no difference if you were the treasurer or not. It'll make no difference if you're a good man. The only thing that'll matter is, were you born again? That's all that'll matter in those days. Amen. Judas goes out in the blackness of that night. One little voice says, "You won the victory, didn't you, Judas?" But the other says, "You lost the battle." One voice said, "Yeah, we won the victory tonight." Another voice says, "Yeah, but you lost the war." Judas walks home that night. That little walk across that hill, not very around that hill, across that Mount of Olives, for Bethany is just on the behind side of the Mount of Olives. That little 10-mile walk seemed like 10 million miles that night. The darkness was so dark and the blackness was so thick and his heart was so heavy. And Judas walks away knowing in just a few hours he's going to place the kiss of betrayal upon the brow of our Savior and he's not born again. How sad. Scene 5. We are in another room. It's not in Bethany. It's in Jerusalem. It's on Mount Zion. It's up on the second floor. It's called the upper room. Mary and Martha are not there. Lazarus is not there. Just Jesus sitting at the head of a table. And 12 men sitting around the table in the upper room. Our Lord takes off his garments down to the waist, gets a basin of water and a towel, and bows with a basin of water, towel. He bows to wash the feet of the disciples. Can you imagine how they must have felt when Jesus Christ, the sinless one, was going to wash their feet? He comes to Peter. Peter says, "You'll not wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, I'll have no part with you." And Peter said, "Then give me a bath." Jesus said, "You don't need but one bath. You get born again one time, you need many washings." Can you imagine how Peter felt that night when the sweet and lovely hands of our Lord reached down and washed his feet? Can you imagine how that John must have felt, that sweet and beloved John who leaned on Jesus' breast must have felt when the precious hands of Christ reached out and touched his feet? But down at the end of the row, there was a fellow who was dreading the time when Jesus got to him. "Oh, my name is Judas Iscariot. He's going to come to me after a while. He's going to wash my feet." Can you imagine how Judas must have felt when our Lord went on down on his knees and got to Judas, reached out with a basin of water, and reached out with that towel and washed the feet of Judas? Judas felt those precious hands that will be pierced in a few hours because of his dastard kind of betrayal. And something in Judas says, "Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it. Get up and tell him. Get up and tell him you've not been born again. Get up and tell him that you're not saved. Do it now!" But a voice on the inside of Judas said, "Don't you do it. You'll be made a fool. Everybody respects you. Everybody thinks if anybody's... And by the way, if anybody on the 12 list of 12 apostles, if anybody would have been suspected to be a traitor, Judas would have been the last one. Judas. Clean Judas. Judas. Honest Judas. Judas. Cast out demons. Judas. A faithful servant. Judas. A preacher. Judas. An apostle. Judas. Beloved. Judas. Respected. Judas. Not born again." How sad. How sad. Judas suddenly felt the urge and desire to stand up and say, "Fellas, I want to tell you something. I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time. 3 years I've been wanting to tell you something. I've tried to have the courage to do it, but I just didn't have the courage to do it. Fellas, you remember back yonder when John the Baptist came to Kerioth? I didn't really get saved." "What?" says Peter. "Say that again," says John. "I can't believe it," says Thomas. Andrew says, "Judas, not saved?" "That's right, fellas. That's right. When John baptized me, I almost said, 'I'm not really saved,' but I didn't have the courage. When I was chosen to be an apostle, I almost said it. I almost stood up and said, 'I'm not born again.' But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And when I got ordained, when Jesus laid his hands on me, and out at the home of just a few hours ago at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, I almost did it." In his mind, something said, "Judas, do it tonight. Admit it," just like something right now is saying for you to come out from behind that facade of church membership and be born again. Come out from behind that facade of baptism and get born again. Come out from behind that facade of being religious and get born again. Come out from behind that facade of taking communion and get born again. Judas, get up and do it. Get up and do it. "Don't you do it," Judas says, a little old impish kind of a demon from hell. "Don't you do it. You'll make a fool of yourself." And you recall the story. How that our Lord passed the sop to Judas, and Judas walked out of the meeting that night still on his way to hell. Religious but lost, baptized but lost, an apostle but lost, a treasure but lost. I wonder how many times Judas thought he ought to get born again and passed it off. He had seen our Lord perform miracles. He had seen him walk on water and calm the waves and still the storm. He had seen our Lord time and time again reach out and raise up someone who was about to die and make him live. He had seen our Lord cast the devils out of demon-possessed people, and men who were dumb speak, and men who were blind could see, and men who were deaf could hear, and men who were crippled could walk, and men who were lame would leap like a hart, and men who were dead would rise to live again. How many times Judas had seen people converted and almost said, "I'm not born again, I'm not born again, I'm not born again!" But he was embarrassed and ashamed. He walks out of the upper room that night out to a place called Gethsemane. And that leads us to scene number six. Our Lord is kneeling in a garden. I hear him as he says, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Neath the stars of the night, a dew-laden night, went the Savior alone on his knees. "Not my will, but thine be done," cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. "Not my will, but thine be done," cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. And while he's kneeling there, look at his perspiration. It's red like blood. It is blood running down from his brow as he prays, knowing that in a few hours he'll be on the cross. But I hear a noise. I hear a noise. Over here in the shadows, I hear the rustling of the leaves of the Mount of Olives. I hear the rustling of the leaves of those olive trees. And I see the figures. It's dark at night, but I see the figures, the silhouettes of men, soldiers. There's one with them that's not a soldier. Judas is with them. "I tell you what," says Judas, "I'll betray him." "How shall we know which one is he?" ask the soldiers. "I'll kiss him. I'll kiss him. When I kiss, that's the one." They reach out and hand him $19.50. $19.50. And Judas puts that $19.50 in his wicked, selfish, mercenary pocket and tiptoes up to Jesus. Can you imagine how he must have felt? How could he do it? There's Jesus on his knees, perspiration like drops of blood. Judas walks up, moves his lips toward the brow of Jesus. Something inside says, "Judas, you ought to get born again. Judas, if ever you had a last chance, this has got to be it. Judas, tell him now you weren't born again when John preached. Tell him now you weren't born again when John baptized you. Tell him now you weren't born again when you're chosen an apostle. Tell him now you weren't born again when you were ordained. Tell him now you weren't born again in the house of Mary. Tell him now you weren't born again in the upper room. Tell him now. Stop and say to the soldiers, 'I don't care what, take your money. I don't want it.'" Jesus reaches in his pocket and feels the $19.50, 30 pieces of silver. Reaches out with his lips and places a kiss of betrayal upon the Savior. "Oh, Judas, you did it now. You did it. You did it. You sealed your soul. You sealed your destiny." The soldiers come. They take our Lord away. Judas takes his $19.50 and goes with a mercenary kind of a selfish spirit back out in the garden. He has his money. He sold his own soul to hell. How tragic. But there's still a chance, maybe. "Judas. Hey, Judas. Hey, Judas. Come back here. I want to tell you something. Why don't you take the money and go back right now and fall at Jesus' feet and say, 'Jesus, I'm sorry. I trust you as my Savior.' Go ahead and admit it. Go ahead, Judas. This may be your last chance, Judas." Judas takes the money and goes on. Scene seven. Our Lord is crucified. He's dipped his own soul into hell. But I go to a room and a couch in that room, and I see a man tossing and tumbling. He can't sleep. Sleep won't come. He remembers the sermon that John the Baptist preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tries to sleep, but he can't. He remembers that day when he got baptized, when he should have gotten converted. He remembers that, and he tries to sleep, but sleep won't come. He recalls the day when Jesus reached out and placed his hands on him in ordination, but sleep still won't come. For memories of opportunities that are lost flood his soul and flood his mind, and suddenly he begins to tremble. He gets out of bed! He reaches in his pocket! He takes the 30 pieces of silver! He runs and throws it down! Somebody said that in hell, Judas is still trying to get rid of the 30 pieces of silver. But every time he throws the silver down, it comes back up, and he throws it down. It comes back up, and he throws it down. It comes back up. It's too late, Judas. Hey, Judas, get it out of your pocket and look at it. Look at it real carefully. You're going to spend eternity in hell because of that 30 pieces of silver. Look at it, Judas. Look at it. You're going to burn forever and ever and ever because of that 30 pieces of silver. Judas cast it down. And I can see the hill right now. He goes to a certain hill outside Jerusalem. He flings himself down that hill, a rocky, stony hill, into the valley of Gehenna. See him as he rolls down the hill. His head hits the rocks. His neck breaks, his arms maybe break, and his legs are broken to pieces. His insides flush out of his body. His head, his neck broken, starry-eyed. I look at him. My mind goes back to that night, that day that John preached and Judas went forward. Goes back to the time when Judas got baptized. I think of the time when Jesus chose him as one of the 12. I think of the time when Jesus laid his hands on him. I think of the time in Mary's house when he had a wonderful chance to get saved. I think of the time when Jesus washed his feet in the upper room. I think of the time when he almost turned to Jesus and before he placed the kiss of betrayal on his brow. I think of the time when he could have walked and thrown down the silver and repented and come to Jesus. But look at him. Look at his body. I stir it with my feet. It's a pretty sorry looking body. But oh, worse than that body is the fact that his soul's in hell. Forever. Never! And ever! And ever! In hell. Tonight, 2,000 years has passed since that sad, sad scene and spectacle when Judas cast his body down that hill and his bowels gushed out. But Judas is still tonight burning in the pits of hell. If I could go to hell tonight and visit, and thank God if I ever did, it would just be for a visit. If I could go to hell tonight, say, Judas, we're having a television interview for the folks in Hammond, Indiana. Judas, what is it? Hey, one drop of water! Oh, I'm tormented. Judas, would you hush for a minute? I'm burning! Judas, what would you tell the people in Hammond, Indiana, if you could come to the services? I tell them, the minute they walk the aisle, if they don't know they're born again, admit it and get born again. I tell them if they've been baptized but not born again, admit it. Do it quickly because it'll get harder all the time. It would have been easier when I was beside the Jordan River, in the Jordan River. It would have been much easier then than it was after I'd gone so far that everybody trusted me as a converted person. Tonight. And tomorrow night, and Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and Friday night, and Saturday night, and Sunday night, and every other tonight as long as there's an eternity. the smoke of his torment will ascend up forever and ever and ever and ever. Until one day, the end of the thousand-year millennium, all of a sudden Judas will be begging, "Oh, let me out, 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 let me out!" Suddenly you'll look up and you'll see the door opening to hell. They're opening the door. We can get out. I knew we wouldn't stay here forever. And up! Judas rises. And up! Pilate rises. And up! Hitler rises. And up! All the wicked people, unconverted people in hell. Out of hell! Can you imagine how Judas lived? I'm out. I'm out. Judas Iscariot, stand before God at the great white throne judgment. I'm Judas Iscariot. Judas, were you born again? Lord, you know me. You know me. I saw you when you came to be baptized in the Jordan. You know me. You know I was one of the finest boys that grew up in Kerioth. Judas, have you been born again? Lord, now look, don't be so impersonal. Don't you recall when you chose me, I was one of your apostles. Lord, I watched you heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and walk on the water. I saw you still the storm and calm the wave. I saw you bless the children. I was right there. You know I was a good man. Judas, were you born again? Lord, look, you trusted me. You made me the treasure. You handed me the money and handed me the book. Lord, you know if ever was a good man, I followed you. I preached. I cast out devils. Lord, you know it. Lord, you have mercy. You know it. You love me. You told me you love me. Judas, have you been born again? Lord, you see these feet here, singed with the fires of torment for 2,000 years. You washed them one night. You took your own hands, the ones that have the scars in them now, and you washed my feet. Lord, don't send me back to hell. Judas, have you been born again? Judas bows his head and says, Lord, I almost was. There are many times when I almost did. No. Jesus takes his body and soul and throws it into the torments of hell, where Judas will burn just like you will, because he didn't take time to get born again. It won't matter in that day whether you got baptized or not. It won't matter in that day what church you belong to. Amen. It won't matter in that day whether you live a good life or a bad life. The only thing that'll matter, were you born again? Amen. Are you? Right now, the same thing is going on in dozens of hearts that went on in Judas' heart in the Jordan River. One voice says, you're not born again. You don't know that you're saved. The other voice says, don't make a fool of yourself. That's all emotionalism. One voice says, listen, you like Judas are going to go to hell if you don't get born again. The other voice says, you're not a bad person. You take the Lord's Supper. You've been baptized. I'll baptize you. The other voice says, don't chance it. Don't chance it. Don't chance it. Hear the voice of Jesus as he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I'm born again. I raise my hand tonight to say, yes, I'm born again. I'll sing it, I'll tell it wherever I go. I want all to hear it! I want all to know! The joy of salvation that makes my heart glow, for I have been born again. Have you? Have you? Deacon, teacher, staff member, choir member, Christian college faculty member, high school, grade school, student of Christian college? Have you? Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that conviction shall sweep over this building in this hour. I pray that you speak to the hearts of all the people here who are good but lost, baptized but lost, church members but lost, office holders but lost. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you the question that our Lord's going to ask you one of these days. Have you been born again? God is watching you. If you can say, yes, I have, and I know it. If you asked me to and I could make a speech, I could stand up and tell you about it. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? Keep them up for a minute. Don't lie about it. Don't be a Judas Iscariot. Now, if your hand is down tonight in God's precious name, settle this matter. You can lower your hands. Now listen carefully. You couldn't raise your hand. Or maybe you did and you shouldn't have. Maybe you lied when you raised your hand. Don't you think you've lived the lie long enough? How many would say, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, for I do not know that I'm born again. I may as well admit it. I'm not going to be like Judas. I'm not going to come to the very door and turn away. I'm going to settle it. Brother Hiles, I do not know that I've been born again. If you're sitting tonight on the main floor, and you don't know that you've been born again, but you want to know it, would you lift your hand with every eye closed? Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me? I do not know it. God bless you, young lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. Who else on the main floor? Lift your hand. Say, I don't know that I'm born again, but I want to know it. Pray for me. Lift your hand on the main floor, please. Way up high, raise it. Quickly. God bless you back in the back. I see you. Who else? Lift it way up high. You don't know that you've been born again, but it's time you did.